And good evening to the fans of DRS Open Podcast, or as we are affectionately known as now, the Kevin Magnussen Appreciation Corner Pod. I couldn't be happier to be in conversation today with an incredible guest, a media personality, someone who has done incredible things within the media landscape in South Africa and is doing incredible things in motorsport in South Africa. Kriya, how are you this evening? And thank you so much for your time.
Very well, thank you. And yourself? I'm so glad to be here. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, thank you. And I mean, if you could just, I guess we could start from the top. Tell me about growing up, your childhood. What was that like?
Growing up was great. Shame, my parents are really awesome. My dad and my mom really indulged us in doing whatever we want to in terms of exploring new avenues. And one for me was television, radio. When I was in radio, I started at 17 years old. I couldn't even drive. My dad had to drop and pick me up from the radio station at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Needless to say, he taught me how to drive very quickly after that. I grew up in South Africa, in Johannesburg, and radio has always been a passion of mine, and it kind of branched out into TV as well after that. So, yeah, I'm a proudly South African girl.
And so you were 17 and couldn't drive. That doesn't sound like the story of a petrol head. Are you a petrol head?
Well, when I say I couldn't drive, it's not that I couldn't drive. I wasn't legally allowed to be driving myself around at 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a campus area where there's always cops and you always get pulled over. So, yeah, it took me a little while to get a manual car under wraps. I didn't really need to drive. I had an older brother that drove me everywhere I needed to go. So,
you remind me of my little sister who, you know, at any opportunity for me to drive the car instead of herself, she will use that. So I can totally relate being an older brother. You started radio in 17 on campus, doing 4 a.m. shifts. And how does your career evolve? How does it evolve in media? Where do you go from there? And how do you get into motorsport in particular? That's the question that I'm really interested in.
So I started, like you said, at Tux FM. And I got a call from someone that I knew in the industry, an agent, if you want to call it that. They were having auditions for Crazy on ETV, which was a youth program. I was 20 years old when I went for this interview and managed to land the job, started doing television, and I was with them for 4 years. And it was a really nice kind of change of pace, moving from radio, change of pace. I love how we always have the motor racing puns.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it was really nice to get into television. And from there, it kind of snowballed. I mean, once you start meeting people and interacting with people in the media, it kind of starts evolving from there. So I always had a keen interest in motorsport. I grew up in a family who used to watch Formula One every single Sunday. We all used to sit there screaming at the television. So it kind of became a thing that was part of my life. And then chatting to a couple of people in the media industry, you know, you meet a director here or you meet a producer here, or a producer is looking for a presenter and puts another producer in touch, you know, that sort of stuff. And I eventually got the call to come audition or screen test for the South African Rally Championship. And this was many, many years ago. I don't even remember what year it was so long ago. And I started doing that. And it was really kind of once the bug bit, I knew this was what I wanted to do. I started doing some sports stuff for Super Sport in between. It was, high school athletics, or some golf things here and there. And the producer knew I had a love for motorsport and asked me to come in and audition for Absolute F1. They were looking for a new host. And that it kind of stuck. And here I am. I also have a Formula One podcast, which I'm sure we'll get to a little bit later. But yeah, it's part of my life now.
That's you know, like for me to like listen to that is, it's genuinely quite inspiring, because one thing that's always struck me about you is your energy, right? Like the energy that you bring to every production, whether it's the podcast, which I've listened to, which is fantastic, whether it was your screen presence on Absolute F1, and, you know, the way that you converse, you know, we're having a podcast right now, and whether that's radio. I mean, where do you get the energy from? Have you always been like a people's person? Are you a people's person, or is it something that you have to sort of channel and turn on and off as it were?
So for me, I love making connections with people. That's why I stayed in radio for so long. Nowadays, I mean, please don't take this the wrong way, or anyone listening to it. Nowadays, a lot of people do it for the fame and, you know, the so-called fortune that comes with it. When I started doing radio, there was no social media. I think Facebook might have just started. We didn't have Instagram. I mean, we were still in the days of Mixit, for goodness sake. and BBM Messenger.
Those were great. Okay, all right. I'm going to expose my age now. Yeah, Gary, yeah.
So I got into it because I love making connections with people. And to bring that energy to a conversation is something that I've done naturally. My parents raised me that way. Yes, okay, maybe after the lights turn off, I need 10 minutes to myself just to kind of gather my thoughts and get back to normal career. But it's something that I've always loved doing and I've always enjoyed doing. And to bring that energy is something that comes naturally to me. And I think I've been taught and I've been brought up that way.
You know, speaking of just that, I think sometimes I notice it like in just day-to-day jobs. I have absolutely no media glare on me whatsoever. But, you know, when you're engaging with people and engaging with clients, and, you know, people will often say things like, oh my gosh, you know, you're so lively, etc. And I'm just like, if you had seen me, right, on my couch doing absolutely nothing for an entire weekend, you would get. And like, and also just being in absolute silence sometimes. I think there can be this misconception that, you know, we're all always turned on all the time. And I think that downtime is something that's really important. But where do you find the downtime when you spoke a lot about hopping in between? So it seems like you're doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that at the same time. I mean, just how do you manage your time? Are you pretty meticulous? Because I know, for example, that I need to work on my time management. I can find myself doing things that absolutely bizarre hours. How do you manage your time just on a day-to-day basis, weekly to week?
I'm going to say it's definitely an art to learn time management. And I still don't have it down, you know, to a complete perfection. But it's essentially, you just kind of need to set priorities and set goals. So I know during the week, if I am doing a lot of things, everything's very scheduled, very kind of in its place. And then when it comes to the weekends, I try and keep them as open as possible for time with the family, taking the dogs to the park, or whatever the case may be. It's really about setting where your priorities and your goals are. So when we work hard, we work extremely hard. But when I work a little bit, want to chill out a little bit, I make a point to try and take that time. But everything's scheduled. If you ever look at my calendar, you'll be like, oh my God, career's crazy. Growing up, I actually had a calendar on my bedroom cupboards. And my mom at a stage, she'd be like, I don't know where my child is. She'd go, she'd look at the cupboard, she'd be like, oh, Kriya's filming TV today, so that's why she's not home. Oh, Kriya's on the radio, that's why she's not home. That's literally how my mom would find me.
That is, yeah. And again, I'm still stuck on the Mixit thing. I actually spotted earlier, about a day or two ago, there is a new social media site called Mixit Technologies, I believe, in South Africa. M-I-X-X. Obviously, the the older among us will remember that Mixit's the original McCoy was MXIT, but I'm going to stop with that now.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I'm going to just talk a little bit about motorsport. Have you been enjoying Formula One recently? There's been so much controversy in the sport, particularly last year. We know the, I suppose I have to call it, the infamous final race in Abu Dhabi. Do you still find that you have the same passion for it now as you did when you were watching it with your family all those years ago?
I think what's interesting is watching it all those years ago, we were still petrol engines. I mean, they used to refuel cars during pit stops. That's how back in the day this used to be. And I think the sport has evolved so much that you have to also then appreciate the rules that kind of come with it. Yes, not everything is ideal. And the controversial final, as you called it, we'll talk about for years to come. Everybody's got their opinion on it. Some people don't like other people's opinions. But I think as a whole, the sport might have gone through a little bit of a lull, like a bit of a dip.
Yeah.
At one stage, it was just Lewis Hamilton winning. The cars weren't following each other as close as they were. We weren't seeing a real, you know, second competitor coming out as much as we're seeing it now. And to be honest, it wasn't covered as much. We didn't get all the information that we're getting now. Back in the day, you'd literally maybe watch a pre-race show if you were lucky enough to have the full multi-choice bouquet or whatever it was. And then you'd watch the race on the Sunday. Now we're constantly getting information. We're constantly having discussions on social media. Back in the day, it was when you saw your cousins and you were sitting around a braai. That was pretty much the only time you'd chat about it. So I think the sport has developed a lot. And nowadays, what's, I think, reignited my passion or kind of why I'm a little bit more passionate about it now is that it's got action. It's got a vibe. Yeah. It's got like a oomph behind it. And I think that's really nice. And you can see it because the numbers are saying it as well. I mean, Formula One is probably one of the fastest growing watched sports in the world. We had more people watching the final last year, the final race, than people watching the Super Bowl. I mean, that's ridiculous. And not like by a couple of thousand, by a couple of million people more. And that's just proof that the sport is really kind of coming into its own once again.
Yeah, and that's, you know, what you're saying is so true. The growth in viewership globally has been absolutely astronomical. I have friends, people who I consider some of my closest friends, who had no idea that I watched Formula One until maybe 3, 4, even 5 years ago. You know, and they'd be like, but Langa, you know, we don't remember you watching in Formula One in university. I was like, yeah, that's because I used to go alone and find a place where I could watch it and places where you could watch it were few and far between. University, Res, when I was at Res at that time, there was still somewhat of that hierarchical structure. You know, the third years would watch stuff. They would be preferred to the second years, who would have stuff who's preferred to the first years. And no one was watching Formula One. Now, like, you know, people are calling me like, oh, dude, where are you going to watch the race? And so there's a definite change in the energy towards it. But on the, when you think about motorsport and when you think about motorsport in South Africa, you know, there's been so much talk. I don't know if it's just online, and maybe that's just my view, about a return of the South African Grand Prix. Does that excite you? Is that something that you'd ever want to get involved with? You know, a race in I remember a few years ago, it started off as speculation about a race around street racing around Greenpoint. And I know that Formula E is going to be there next year, but it seems to have settled around, well, if Formula One does come back to South Africa, it will probably be here in Kyalami. How does that make you feel? Is that something that you'd want to get involved in?
So I'm super excited about the prospect of a race coming back to South Africa. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. I already work with quite a few people that are in motorsport that are going to be part of the actual process of bringing a Formula One to South Africa. We're starting the endurance series. I'm hosting the endurance series, which starts this weekend, which I'm sure we'll chat about in a bit. But I think I'm also very cognizant of some of the problems or issues that we are going to face if a race comes back to South Africa. So the first problem is the track is not graded for a race. It's graded for testing, so they can do, you know, practice or testing here in South Africa, but they can't host a physical race. Now, to upgrade the track, we're looking at, you know, probably just shy of 100 million rand to upgrade Kyalami so that it is going to be approved as a racetrack for Formula One. So that's the first problem. The second problem is we're really far away from everybody else in the world, which is why they always used to have Australia first on the calendar, or they'll have it now, like it's coming up, but there's a 2-week break in between to try and actually get the teams down to Australia. Then we have the South Africanness of it. I mean, we got to deal with customs. We got to deal with all of that sort of stuff. You know, the logistics around it.
Yeah.
And that's also not easy. And then the third problem is, I know everyone got super excited when they spoke about having a race in Africa. We're not the only country that has a racetrack suitable for Formula One. Within Africa, there's at least two other countries that can host it. So is it going to be a shorter flight to fly into, let's say, Kenya than it is going to be
Morocco, isn't it? Yeah.
Morocco, whatever the case may be is. Those are other things that we need to consider. So yes, I'm super excited. If we can have a race in South Africa, it is going to be amazing. But we need to consider the pros, the cons as well.
Oh, yeah. I think more than anything else, the thing that I'm most aware of is whether the fact that it is not currently a grade one circuit. And also, you know, the hosting fees. And, you know, that's the reality of it. If you look at where Formula One has expanded to, let's say last year, 2020 was a bit of an anomaly considering COVID, but it's Qatar, it's Saudi Arabia, it's Las Vegas as of this afternoon, it's Miami. These are places which have, you know, the sort of leave aside the glamour of it, but, you know, the money and the resources to make the event happen. And for us, it might just be a little bit of a different, you know, even if we can make it happen, I think the glitz and the glamour of it might be slightly different, which is, you know, I really just hope that it does happen. It's really cool to hear Lewis Hamilton actively talking about not just Africa, but Kyalami and South Africa. I think that's the best part. And that gives us a shot. If he's, shout out to Lewis. I'm not sure why he's so pro South African, but it's fantastic. And I hope that he can wiggle his magic and make something happen for us.
Yeah, it'll be really great for it to come back. Yeah. And I don't know if you've visited Kyalami recently, but oh, the track is amazing. It is it's got such a history when it comes to Formula One. Although I must just say, having attended, I don't know if you've attended a Formula One race. I was in Monza 2-3 years ago. I don't know how kitted out we are, hey?
Wait
like
a moment.
The South Africanness of it.
I need to. So you were at Monza 2020 or 2019?
I think it was either 2019 or 2018, I think. Lewis Hamilton won.
Oh, because I was going to say there was the year where Leclerc won and the Tifosi must have been crazy. Tell me about that. Tell me about that experience, like at a race. I mean, that, especially Monza, the temple of speed, right?
Yeah. So, you know what? From a racetrack that you could go to, Monza's beautiful. You walk through this elaborate park garden area to get to the racetrack. You can hear the cars kind of vibrating through the trees. It's a really beautiful experience. We sat on the main straight because I went with my partner who's not really a Formula One person at all. So I thought being on a main straight would be really interesting because of the build-up, the podium is there, the pit stops are there. So not the best place to sit when you're going to Monza. Like, I mean, you want to be rather at the apex after the long straight. But really an exciting atmosphere. It's so cool to see how things run and operate. I don't think I waited longer than 2 minutes for a bathroom.
That is incredible. I mean, and I'm thinking the apex that you're talking about is where Max and Lewis would have had the infamous, you know, Max's car on top of Lewis, Lewis's car, and thank God for him. So you reckon that's, if you're going to Monza, that's the best place to sit.
100%. That's where all the action is, because you've got all the speed coming down the main straight. That's the passing area. That's where you see everybody as, you know, the lights go out. That's where you need to sit, in my opinion.
That's fantastic. Okay. And I'd just like to, there's Formula One and there's all of that. But like you mentioned, there's so much happening in the world of motorsport, particularly in South Africa. You asked, you know, when last time I was at Kyalami, I popped into the Kyalami 9 Hour a few weeks ago, which I found to be, you know, such a pleasant experience. What would you say, if you're a South African and you're really into motorsport, what are the events that you would be eyeing up coming up in the future?
Look, this endurance series is really cool. So if you enjoyed the Kyalami 9 Hour, then this is a similar concept. It's obviously not a 9 hour race. There's an hour race and a 4 hour race. The classes are a little bit different. They've also got, South African drivers that are just enthusiasts in the race. It's not only professionals. But the vibe is really cool. It travels around to different circuits around South Africa. So I think it's about six or seven races in total. Really look out for things like that. I mean, even if you're staying down in PE or Cape Town or in Gauteng, there's one in Joburg and there's one in Pretoria at Swartkops and at Kyalami. So there's really cool things happening in and around racetracks in South Africa. You just need to make yourself aware of it. I think also the guys that are now involved in Motorsports South Africa and the South African GT series are people that really want to see young South African drivers starting to grow and develop. And they're putting a lot of money into the sport and growing it a lot. So I think now you'll start seeing a lot of it come up on your TV or your Instagram feed. And all you need to do is go out and check out a race.
It is really just so thrilling. I mean, the 9 hour was my first time at Kyalami for anything actually motorsport related. I think the only time I ever went was at the DSTV Delicious Fest. So that was not a sporting vibe. Event. Yeah, nothing of the sort. But I'm also interested, you know, it's such a pity that Wame couldn't be with us today, but observationally, I mean, you so close to the ground, women in motorsport in South Africa. Is there anything that you're observing, particularly from an uptake point of view? Are we getting people? And when I think about Formula One, I think about people like Stephanie Travers, who this is obviously, you know, right at the highest level, but she was the trackside fluid engineer for Mercedes AMG. I believe she may not be there anymore. Yeah, she was famously on the podium with Lewis at Austria. What about your observation on the ground in South Africa? How are you seeing women coming into motorsport? And of course, there's so many different parts to it, isn't it? It's not just about being the pilot in the car.
Yeah, and you know what? It's one of those unfortunate things where, you know, there's only a certain amount of people that can be drivers, not only from a financial point of view, but from a limited amount of seats in teams. I think what's really nice to see it, and I've spoken to Tasman Pepper about this a couple of times because she's on my podcast, it's really growing, and it's not only South Africans or local people that are putting in the effort to grow it as well. People like the FIA are working with Africa as a whole to start bringing up not only girls, but guys as well. There's a real development of young drivers in South Africa. And what we're also seeing is that women are getting involved in it as well. from a tech perspective, from a engineering perspective, and it's really growing quite a lot. It's not growing as fast as I would hope it would, but, you know, can't rush everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we've got women who are driving it and are the face of it in the local landscape and the media as well. I just think there's just so many avenues, you know, to spread the sport and to change the face of the sport. I think the difficulty that so many people face is, again, I use Formula One as the conduit, but I do mean motorsport in general, is that, you know, the face is not black woman, is it? Right? That's not the face of Formula One. But, you know, hopefully, and I'm really encouraged to hear you saying that there's so much being put into the development of motorsport in South Africa, because one of the barriers to this thing is finance, right? But again, if you can, you know, if we can create STEM bursaries, for example, that are specifically catered for people who want to get into, I don't know, aerodynamics. I think, you know, what is so cool right now, again, just, you know, for the Formula One perspective, is that so much of this car, of the modern cars, are about aerodynamics, and everyone is talking about, you know, has Adrian Newey developed the best car? Has James Allison at Mercedes developed the best car?
And he definitely hasn't.
And that's, yeah. Oh no, you're going to get me into huge trouble at the end of this if I laugh anymore. But you know, that's aerodynamics. There's absolutely no reason why the person who did not designs the next generation of car at the forefront of it can't be a woman, you know, and that filters down to all levels of motorsport. And I really hope that, you know, we get there sooner rather than later. But I can't resist. Who do you support?
I am completely neutral because I'm not allowed to have an opinion.
No, fair enough. I could tell my listeners. I think my listeners probably get tired of how often I tell them that I support Red Bull. I'm not backing down ever.
You know what? I think it's also, yeah, there is a diplomatic answer around this, but a cool diplomatic answer is that I really appreciate what having Max Verstappen as a new champion did to the sport. Now we have so many new viewers, people are interested. There was this fight, this drama, all of that kind of from last season, which has really increased viewership in the sport. But in the same breath, I do want Lewis to get that record. Looking at it, let's take the cloth off it. Let's not beat around the bush here. There is no other non-white race car driver that's coming up in the ranks that you're going to see in the next, let's say, 5 years, that's going to be able to get to that eighth championship. We don't have someone that's really, you know, pushing the boundaries. So Lewis doing that is going to change a lot of people's lives. He's really going to be an inspiration for a lot of youngsters coming through the ranks. So yes, I do like the fact that Max is winning and there's a challenger, but in the same breath, we have the opportunity to write history.
Yeah, and we all want that, I guess, in terms of, because records are there to be broken. You know, I was, the first race that I vividly remember watching was the infamous 2002 race in Austria where Rubens Barrichello led the entire race, and then at the last corner, Ferrari just sort of said, basically, stop your car, and let Schumacher pass. And that, you know, created huge controversy in the sport at the time. And the point that I'm going to is that with this is that I supported Rubens Barrichello as a young boy. And it's amazing what those moments, those big moments in sport, can do to you and to your perception about what is possible. Like I resonated with the fact that this guy was actually really fast, and, you know, he'd be done over, and he's never going to give up, and Barrichello's going to chase Schumacher. I was young, yes, and it didn't happen that way. But, you know, what Lewis Hamilton winning an eighth championship in particular, because what he's done already is already so standout, it's, in and yes, of itself, yeah, Yeah, you know, it would transform so much for particularly the young boys and girls who are watching the sport at this moment. I couldn't agree with you more, although I would quite personally be quite happy if Max Verstappen won the title again at the end of 2022. You mentioned your colleague on your podcast. Please tell me about it, because can I just say to you, as someone who's new to podcasting, I couldn't help but notice how well produced and engineered it is. I loved it. I listened to it for the first time last week. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
So when I was chatting to one of my friends that is within Jacaranda, I said to him, I'm like, you guys need more of a Formula One presence. I mean, like we spoke about in the beginning, it's one of the biggest watched sports in the world. Why are you guys not focusing on it? And he said to me, Kriya, if you want to do it, do it. I'll give you the platform, go forth into the world, and let's do it. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's just put together a full podcast with radio promos and everything in 2 weeks. Why not?
That's amazing.
It was definitely an interesting challenge, I'm not going to lie. I will say that when you say it, it's very well produced and put together. I'm lucky to have the history in radio and the years of experience in it. So when I put it together, I'll put a content plan that I kind of think about and then run it past the team that is on the show, because they are experts in their own right. I mean, Chop Sabuka is the first Black world champion ship driver in the VW Polo Series. Tasman Pepper is a South African woman driver. She raced on the W Series, one of the top 18 women drivers in the world. Avon Middleton, he's the owner and publisher of Top Gear magazine, South Africa. So these are guys that really know what they're talking about. And when choosing them, I wanted something a little bit more diverse. I know Tasman is not a Max Verstappen, not a Lewis Hamilton fan. She's never liked him. Where Chops is very Lewis kind of base, which is the same thing with you and your co-host. And Avon is a nice middle ground, but he loves talking tech, where Tasman and Chops love talking about how drivers feel because they are drivers. So putting it together, the team is amazing. They really are experts and the best that you can possibly find in the South African industry when it comes to racing. So it's really great to have them on the show.
No, I can hear the banter, you know, especially between Tamsin and Brad Chops. It's incredible.
I mean, and I was happy.
it's great. But isn't that the best part about this? The fact that we can get together as people from all walks of life and, you know, and just be so passionate about the sport, passionate about what it can do, and have that sort of conversation. And, you know, just before we do wrap up, I'm interested because I've got a theory, and I don't know if you've ever watched Drive to Survive, but I've got a theory that part of the reason for not just the growth of the popularity of the sport, but almost the intensity of feeling that people have towards particular drivers.
100%. I don't even need to complete that sentence. 100%.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's absolutely unreal. So, but how's your, do you watch it? Do you enjoy it?
I'll give you a prime example. My boyfriend, my partner, he never like got into Formula One. I mean, sitting in Monza, he was like, oh, are they not refueling the cars? Like,
oh, wow, that was in 2019. Yeah, no, listen,
he didn't even realize that they swapped over to a hybrid era. Like, it's and he watched the first season of Drive to Survive and then was so passionate about the way he did not like Romain Grosjean after that. And then now he watches every single season and he's super keen on it. He's even leading our fantasy F1 league. That is how keen he is.
Oh, come on, Kriya. Come on. The guy who didn't know there was refueling 3 years ago is beating you.
You know what was the worst thing is that after the, or just before the first race, I picked my teams and I went in with my heart and I put McLaren in my team. And he listened to the podcast, and from the podcast, he picks these teams and he's on the top of the freaking league.
So he didn't pick McLaren. That's basically what he did.
Or Red Bull, for that matter.
That after Bahrain, that was it was a very difficult week on the drinks side of things. But you know, I think that's such a nice sort of note to end off. I couldn't thank you enough for, again, the energy that I mentioned at the beginning of this that you bring to everything that you do. I'm wishing you the best of luck in terms of all your upcoming productions, your podcasts. You know, I'll be listening to that very, very closely. And you are on Twitter and Instagram, aren't you?
At Clear G on everything.
Fantastic. And I couldn't thank you enough. And hopefully you will chat sooner rather than later.
Definitely. And thank you so much for having me on the show. I look forward to Australia next weekend.
I do too. And I guess I can't ask you. Who do you think is going to win the championship?
No, I'm not allowed to. No, I refuse. No, I'm joking. Danny Rick is going to come back from a bad season to take the championship.
That's absolutely not going to happen. But, you know, how cool was it to see him out? But he did win at Monza last year, didn't he? I mean, in the last 2 years, rather, I can think of Esteban Ocon.
Luck that he won.
Pierre Gasly. There's so many new winners, and I think that there's some. It's really interesting that we are at the start of like a really sharp, steep development cycle, and I think that a lot could change. I wouldn't be surprised if we had a third different winner in Australia next weekend, but who knows?
Well, I think the Ferraris are still going to be strong, but let's see.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I'm pretty. Yeah, I think. But I think the smooth operator, Carlos Sainz, will win that. I can say that. But again, Priya, thanks again and have a lovely evening.
You as well, and we'll chat soon.
Ciao.